Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel ministry using both electronic media and print to share God's Word around the world. And I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 15 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging on to the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too, like these listeners to our Hausa language broadcasts to Nigeria. One of them writes, "I like the Heralds of Hope program because it is really putting hope in my life, even in those that are hopeless. Please continue with that great work." And then another texted this message, "I am a Muslim, but I am enjoying your programs. Pray for me so I will have more ability to understand what you are teaching." Now, last time on Hope for Today, we began a study from Luke 17, verses 1 to 19, titled Kingdom Character. In the first part of our study, we looked at the character trait of sincerity. Sincerity is defined as being honest or pure and true. It carries the idea of the sun shining in all of its brilliance, coupled with discernment. So a sincere person can have their life put in the full light of the sun and still remain blameless, because a sincere person has nothing to hide. And we also noted the Apostle Paul as an example of that sincerity. His testimony was that he did his best to live in a way that allowed him to have a clear conscience before God and his fellow men. Paul was willing to limit his personal freedom to avoid offending others. In that, he's a good example of sincerity for us to follow. So today we continue our study, and as we do, I read our text, Luke chapter 17 and verses 1 to 19. "Then he said to his disciples, 'It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, "I repent," you shall forgive him.' And the apostles said to the Lord, 'Increase our faith.' So the Lord said, 'If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, "Be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea," and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, "Come at once and sit down to eat"? But will he not rather say to him, "Prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink"? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, "We are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do." Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God, except this foreigner? And he said to him, Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. The next kingdom character trait is generosity. Generosity is simply a willingness to share with others what God has shared with you and me. It impacts many areas of our lives, but probably none as much as the area that Jesus highlights here in our text. Forgiveness. And Jesus prefaces his instruction by telling his disciples to listen up. What he was about to tell them would shock their sense of justice. Now the disciples understood the need for forgiveness, so when Jesus told them in verse 3 to forgive the one who offended them, they understood that. In fact, the rabbis taught that a person should forgive an offender 3 times, but no more. Their conclusion was based on a wrong interpretation and understanding of the prophet Amos in chapter 1 and verse 3. But it's what Jesus said in verse 4 of our text that really blew them away. He said, If your brother sins against you 7 times in one day, and 7 times a day he returns to you, saying, I repent, you must forgive him. Okay, so how would you respond to what Jesus said? Have you ever had to do this? Or are you like me, finding it difficult to forgive someone the same sin twice? Have you ever said to someone, You've already asked me to forgive you for that sin, and now you've done it again. I won't forgive you until I see a change in your behavior. Well, maybe you've never said it, but you probably thought it. You know, I tremble at the thought of God saying that to me. I'd be a lost cause. God has been so generous to me, yet I find it difficult to allow his generosity to flow through me. I'm like the disciples. I need to pay attention to Jesus' words. I need to listen up. Too many times I want to see justice served to others, not mercy and forgiveness. And yet I'm so glad for God's gracious forgiveness of my sins and my failures. I often forget that generosity fosters more generosity. Jesus said that the measure we use to give to others will be the same measure others use to give back to us. And he also taught us that refusing to forgive others blocks his forgiveness of our trespasses. So if we refuse to be generous in forgiving, who are we actually hurting? Instead of being set free by a forgiving spirit, we're kept in bondage by bitterness. When you and I forgive someone, there's a release. When we refuse to forgive, we allow the person and their offense to actually take control of our lives. Jesus said, Freely forgive, and I add, so you can be free too. One of the areas where we develop this character trait of generosity and forgiveness is in our families. You know, so many little frictions arise from character flaws and personality differences and the annoying habits of other people. And these all give us ample opportunities to develop a generous spirit of forgiveness. And yet so often, we fail to develop this trait at home. And then we wonder why it's so difficult to develop and exercise it in our communities, or in our workplace, or in our local church fellowship. You know, I thank God for my wife and my children who are quick to forgive when I acknowledge my failures and my sins against them. God has used them to teach me so much about forgiveness and generosity. But sincerity and generosity will not be developed unless there's another character trait. And the disciples introduce it with their response to what Jesus has just told them. That kingdom character trait is faith. After they heard what Jesus said, they said, Lord, increase our faith. To them, this was one of the hard sayings of Jesus. They had already exercised faith simply by becoming Jesus' disciples. But these demands of kingdom character he was teaching them were beyond anything they'd ever been asked to do before. This rabbi's teaching was different from anything they'd heard before. Now you may ask, what does faith have to do with developing kingdom character? Well, I would say plenty. And Jesus said if they only had a little faith, they could say to the mulberry tree, be plucked up by the roots and be planted in the sea. And it would happen. Now, I know from experience the mulberry tree is notoriously difficult to uproot or destroy. I believe Jesus was focusing on the quality of their faith more than the quantity. Did they trust him enough to obey what they didn't understand? Do you trust him enough to do that? Genuine faith is the ability to embrace as fact things we cannot see. Every human being exercises faith every day in the process of living. But many of these same people see faith in spiritual matters as a blind leap into the dark. But they're wrong. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Faith in Jesus doesn't enable us to understand every circumstance, but it does bring meaning to the otherwise inscrutable things of life. And in the very familiar verse, John 3:16, Jesus said, whoever believes or exercises faith in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I know this is true because of my own personal experience and because of the testimony of thousands of other people whose lives have been transformed by the power of the gospel. A faith that takes God at his word and acts upon it will not go unrewarded. Now, if you and I lack faith in God, we'll have a narrow view of life. And when we have a narrow view of life, we tend to focus on ourselves. We think about what's best for us, what we enjoy, and how we can make our life better or easier. A lack of faith says you must look out for yourself because nobody else will. But God's word assures you and me that he's always watching out for us. He directs the events of our lives to bless others through us. He orders the events of our lives in a way that will glorify him. And he plans the events of our lives in order to reproduce the character of Christ in us. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week so we can continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD, or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, Kingdom Character. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Kingdom Character. Or you can log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to this teaching whenever it's convenient for you. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact us is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a copy of this teaching, Kingdom Character. It's available either in print or on an audio CD. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next time as we continue our study, Kingdom Character. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.